Morning, everybody. Yeah, thank you both for responding. It's good to have you. So this morning, I'm preaching again, except not really. I preached just a few weeks ago, which was pretty recent for me. And also, there just a few things. As I was preparing this week, I'm going to be honest, I sat down like two or three times and like just try, I had a thought that I wanted to share and I couldn't put it together. Like I couldn't make the words come out good thing. And so I really had a struggle with that. And so because of that, I kind of had a thought. For one, I felt like I really didn't have a sermon to say, more like a chat. Like, let's just have a chat, right? I just want to just have a more cash. And also, it's Grumpy Sunday, right? So, like, it's a more cash. Yeah, yeah. So here's what we're going to do. So, if it's okay, I've done this once before, but I'm going to bring up a chair, if that's cool. All right, we're just going to have a chat this morning. I'm going to bring up a chair. I brought up my coffee with me. So, we're just, yeah. Is that okay? Can we do this?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't really have a choice. But all right, this is more I feel this is personal, right? I feel good about this. I like this a lot. I'm just going to sit here, and we're going to just sip coffee or big gulps or your hot chocolates or ciders or water, whatever you got. And if you don't have a drink, that's fine, too. We're just going to have a chat. Last week, but actually, you know, before I start, let's still have a prayer. We should pray and ask the Spirit to lead us before we get into our chat. All right, so let me pray for us. God, we're so grateful. We are so grateful for who you are and who you're calling us to be. We're so grateful for this community that we get to gather with, that we get to enjoy each other's company, that we get to learn more about you. We get to encourage and challenge one another, and we get to love each other and our neighbors and our families and, yes, even our enemies with all that we've got. May that be our call this morning. May those be the words that come out of my mouth, that you are good and you're calling us to love everyone. May your Spirit lead us. May we just be your people, God. And in all this, may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So, was it just last week or 2 weeks ago you started this series? Last week, okay. So we started a series called Not All Alone just this last week, which I knew. It was only just last week that we started. And so I was praying about what to share in regards to this Not All Alone concept, and I was just literally scouring the scriptures, just thinking, what do you want me to talk about? What would be beneficial to discuss? And I was just flipping through. I was just looking at all different sorts of things, like in Matthew 7 when Jesus instructs us not to judge. I was thinking on that for a second, or like, you know, looking at the plank in your own eye before the speck in your brother's. And or Matthew 5, speaking of eyes, when Jesus says the eye for eye thing and talks about not getting mad at your brother and letting your yes be yes. And jumped ahead to Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. I was like, man, is there something there with this not all alone? Thinking of like gardening and cultivating and how we grow together and whatnot. I looked at Matthew 18, which is like the famous like dealing with conflict passage. Another verse that Daniel mentioned recently, Matthew 19, when Jesus encounters the rich young ruler and talks about, what he lacks, and Jesus lets the man walk away. I'm like trying to grasp like something out of this, I feel like I knew kind of where I wanted to go. But like just everywhere I looked, I just thought, man, this is all good. But I'm not sure that that's like the key verse, right? Like is that, and so I guess the point I really should be making this morning is like, I don't know, just go read the book of Matthew. Don't listen to me. I scoured the book of Matthew. There's a whole lot of good stuff in there. So just read that. Sermon over. No. You know, whatever I say is likely not going to be better than all that stuff I already mentioned there. But seriously, as I read and considered what the Lord was speaking to me, there's one thing I kept coming back to, and that, you know, when I think about not being all alone, my mind immediately jumps to living in community, right? If we're not all alone, then we're living in community, right? Like that's what we do as a church, that's what we do in neighborhoods and our workplace, like we're in community constantly. And as I read this and as I was thinking about things to discuss, the one thing kept coming back to me, and that is this. No matter who you are, no matter how balanced of a person you are, no matter how much of a mess you are, no matter any of those things, living in community is hard. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Like, it's just so people-y and difficult. And like, right? Right? Hang on. And like, I just was reflecting on all this stuff and all these good words about living in community, all this good advice that Jesus has given, these words to live by and all these examples. And I just thought, man, like, it's all really good, but it's hard to practice. Sometimes when we live in community, some of us may wish we were all alone at certain points, right? Because it can just be frustrating. I mean, the world is infinitely complex, right? I feel like we're all acutely aware of that at this point. And truthfully, you know, something I've been thinking about lately is that we are all infinitely small. That's a hard truth to think about. Like, you are just a blip. I am just a tiny little piece, not only in the universe spatially, but also on the time continuum. Like, man, the universe does not revolve around us. I hope you knew that. Everybody, we good? We cool here? Is everybody okay realizing that you're very small and fairly insignificant? Okay, I hope I didn't blow anybody's mind with that. That could be rough for somebody. All right. If I've just tossed you into an existential crisis, I'm sorry. If you're at home and you're not sitting here with us and you're having an existential crisis, go find somebody to talk to. You're not all alone. Anyway, it can be challenging to live in community, and it can be challenging to realize and accept that you are small. But I think it can be very beneficial. And so this thought process that I was just filtering through my brain trying to figure out, it brought me to another paradox. Now, if you remember, I just spoke a couple weeks ago and I talked about a paradox, and you're probably like, ugh, another paradox from Brandon. This doesn't make any sense. And the truth of it is, this paradox, I don't exactly know what to do with it. And so part of me feels like this chat may not be that helpful, but I think it could be. So let's give her a go. Something that I observed as I was reading the scriptures, and as, of course, I've studied the scriptures, you know, my whole adult life and into my teens and stuff, it seems like Jesus never really tried to convince people of things. Like, he spoke truth. He was very firm in what he was about. But like the example of the rich young ruler, Jesus spoke the truth, and the rich young ruler was sad and he walked away. Jesus didn't chase after him. Jesus didn't say, but, whoa, no. He let him go. And aside from the time, you know, when Jesus threw over a bunch of tables and kicked a bunch of people out of the temple, like, Jesus was a pretty chill dude, it seems like, most of the time. I think that this little bit of living in community is really beneficial to think through. It can be really exhausting to try to convince people of things or to try to, like, chase after people to, like just make your point. But man, one, life is too short for that. And two, like, our perspectives are just that. They're our perspectives. I mean, like I said, we're pretty small. And life is hard, right? Like, all of us are simply trying to do our best at being a husband or a wife or a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or a son or a daughter or a friend or whatever you are. I mean, at least I am. I can't speak for you, but I'm just trying to be the best at that. Like, and that's hard enough, much less convincing or controlling somebody else, controlling what they think or how they live. I can't focus on someone else's thoughts or feelings as they relate to me. Like, I can't control that. Life's too short. Life's too difficult. I think this is a good piece of wisdom that I'm gleaning from Jesus about convincing people. Andy Stanley has a famous quote that we've used a few times that kind of relates to this topic. He says, "Do you want to make a point or do you want to make a difference?" And I really have kind of clung to that in the last couple years of, like, this thought process of trying to convince other people. I think it's really good advice to have in our brains as we're considering this. But back to Jesus, as I read about his life, he spoke the truth in love. But he let, I mean, truthfully, he let people do with the knowledge what they will. He spoke very firmly to people at times, especially the religious leaders. He walked the walk. He lived it out. And so when I look at Jesus, I think, man, maybe it's just better to show him, I suppose. Maybe it's better to live it out, to live your convictions, to live out the truth, to speak it when it's necessary. I think John, in the Gospel of John, said it best when he quotes Jesus. He says, "No greater love has anyone than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." I mean, Jesus loved hard. He was passionate. Another verse that we quote quite often is also from John that says, "They will know we are Christians by our love for one another." I think loving is much better than convincing or trying to control the other. However, remember, I said this was a paradox. And this is the part that really gets me. And like I said, I'm not 100% sure what to do with this or how to live it out practically. Maybe you guys can help. There's another verse from Matthew. Again, Matthew. Good stuff. You guys should read it. Where Jesus is sending the 12 out to share the gospel amongst the lost people of Israel. And he tells them to be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. And I've always liked this expression because I think that there's this point that we have to be really careful. While I don't think it's necessary or worth our time to expel our energy convincing people or trying to make a point about something, there are hills that we need to die on. There are standards that we need to be able to hold to live in community, to have a formative group that we, you know, there's got to be something we agree on, right? Like, it's just, it's part of living life together. Like, we have to have, at some point, we have to have these standards that we say, this is the hill I will die on. Like, this is non-negotiable for me. So the question, the paradox is, how do we do both? I mean, how do we essentially have our standards, have our convictions, have our way that we believe is right, but then at the same time, you know, say like, yeah, well, you do you, boo. Right? How do we hold these two? I wish I could tell you. And this is why I feel like this is more of a chat than a sermon. Because I'm coming this morning with, truthfully, with more questions than I have answers. I think that the balance that you strike here is deeply personal, and I think it takes a lot of work. Oftentimes when a lot of, especially young people that I encounter, they deconstruct their faith, or they are trying to figure out life, they're moving into a new stage of life, and they think, well, life is more complicated than I thought. This stuff in the Bible, it's complicated, it's complex. This faith stuff, I don't know. Not sure I buy it, what my parents gave me. And it's just like, well, throw that one out. It's complicated, so I guess it's just not worth it. Right? It's complicated, so I guess it must not be true. It's complicated, so I guess, like, whatever, man. Just live however you want. Do whatever you want. It's fine. Just nothing but love, man. You know? Like, that's the easy thing to do. But I don't think that's the right path either. I think finding the conviction of this balance is deeply personal, and it takes work. There are communities of people, and I am a very accepting and loving person, but there are communities of people that I do not want to be associated with. There are groups that I would say, I don't think they're doing it right. And I'll be the first to tell you that there is a lot that I do not know. Most of the things. I would say, this is what I know. This is what I know that I don't know. And then, actually, this all the way around the world, and then back to here, that's the stuff I don't even know that I don't know. I mean, there's so much gap there. So I'll be the first to say that there is so much that I don't know that most of the time when I come into conversation with somebody I disagree with, it's just like, yeah. But at the same time, there are certain standards that I am raising my two girls by. There are certain standards for the types of communities that I want to be involved in because I have convictions that I've had to work out in my own life. As I was reading again, I told you that I came across the parable of the sower. And I love how agrarian the New Testament is. The people of the first century were very farmer-oriented. And as I was thinking about this, I thought maybe to be in community work means to be cultivators and not builders. You see, builders have control. Builders can take care of all the variables. You know, you dig in the ground, you have the foundation, of course, a storm could come and mess things up, but they account for that. How many storms are in this region? How tough do we, you know, builders, they can pretty much know all the variables. But cultivators, there are some things that you just can't control. And I think that's the same in community. Paul has a famous quote in 1 Corinthians that I love. They're debating whether Apollos or Paul, you know, are the greatest or whatever. And Paul simply says, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. That's good. You know, that makes me feel really good when I think about how small I am, to think that the kingdom of heaven does not depend on me. I heard one amen. Is that okay? You guys feel okay about that? God has been doing this work long before we got here. And until Gabriel blows his horn or Jesus comes back, he's going to be doing this work long after we're gone. You are not that significant. And so in the grand scheme of things, I think it's really important for us to live our own convictions, to teach the ones we're close with, and to put ourselves in communities that we believe in. But outside of that, I choose grace. For me, so much depends on God. Again, it's like this thing, right? Take this all the way around the world and back. Like, this is what depends on me, and the rest is God. Like, it's a very small amount. I will choose grace over being right. I will choose grace over convincing someone. I'll choose grace because I know I am not that important. And that can be a tough lesson. It's hard to not think that you're right about everything, right? It doesn't feel super good. But man, it's freeing. It's so freeing because there is a world of things that we don't know. If someone wrote a series of books about all the things I don't know, I mean, geez, there wouldn't be enough shelves in all the libraries in all the world to house that collection. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy the amount of things that we don't know. So because of that, I'll choose grace. I'll choose grace because of the ministry of Jesus that I saw, that he didn't try to convince people, but he stood for something at the same time. He had his standards and he spoke truth, but he still chose grace at every turn. Now, I feel like I just like shifted into this like, well, this is really complicated and I don't know the answer. And then I was just like, oh, I just choose grace, right? Like I just super oversimplified it, right? Oh, I just choose grace. No. I mean, it's simple to say, right? But it's not. All of us are trying to figure this out. All of us are trying to hold this balance. All of us mess up. All of us get it wrong. All of us are struggling. But you are not all alone. We can figure this out. We can work together. We can choose grace together. We can have grace for each other. Because, spoiler alert, all of us in this room have different opinions about things. And guess what? Some of the people in this room may have different opinions about your non-negotiables. Oops. It's tough, man. Living in community is tough. But guess what? I'm struggling to figure it out. I'm guessing you probably are too. And you are not all alone. Each of us is working it out. Each of us is trying to raise a family or have a career or finish school or start the next chapter of our lives. Whatever it is, life is tough and we're all trying to figure it out. But it's so short. It's so short, y'all. So let's not waste our time trying to convince other people or trying to control things that are outside of our control. Let's remember that we're small. Let's love hard. Let love be our non-negotiable. Let grace be our non-negotiable. But, as Jesus instructed, let's be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves. And above all, may we never stop gathering together. May we never give up on enjoying the gift of community and celebrating the fact that despite all these complications, we're not all alone. We have the gift of the church that Jesus has given us. And with this, let's carry with us a whole bunch of grace, because we're going to need it, and we're going to want it for ourselves. Let's pray. God, what a gift community is. What an absolute gift. We are so grateful. But God, we know that this gift comes with its complications. We know that this gift comes with its struggles. We know that this gift is not just all unicorns and rainbows and good times. It can be a struggle. God, we would just ask that you would first and foremost help us to just experience the grace that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. For while we were still messed up, and even now as we're continually messed up, you have loved us with an unfailing love. God, we're so thankful. We're so thankful for the example of Jesus. May we carry it with us with every breath and with every step. May we be a people of grace. May we hold to the standards that you have called us to. May we come to those deep and personal convictions. May we do the work. A lot of that work comes through doubt. So God, may we doubt hard. And may we dig in, looking for who you are. Because we know that if we seek you, we'll find you. God, more than anything, may we show grace to the world. May we be a people that are so generous and so loving and so caring that they'll know that we're Christians by our love. May this be our guiding light. It's in the name of Jesus we pray.